Good morning. It has been a highly entertaining day yesterday. No amount of Netflix, Amazon Prime or Hotstar can give you as much entertainment as Indian politics and politicians do. Right now, one party more than others, not to say that others don't have entertainers in their party, but none as vainglorious as the 2.5 men running India. To cover one lie, if you invent 1,000 lies, then at some point you will get stuck in the web of your own lies. Before we head to all the jhoots and boots making news in India, let's start with the positive news which must be celebrated, because taking an important step towards tackling the menace of plastic waste in India, the government has completely banned the imports of solid plastic waste or scrap into the country. Now this is big because India generates 25,940 tons of plastic waste every day, and after being banned by China a few years ago, India had emerged as one of the world's largest importers of plastic waste. The partial ban provision was misused by many firms on the pretext of being in an SEZ. It is 7th March 2019 and Chaukidar Hi Chor Hai was the go-to slogan yesterday, as Attorney General of India may have created history of sorts when he scored what amounts to at least 2-3 self-goals. Claiming in the Supreme Court that documents related to the Rafale fighter deal were stolen from the Ministry of Defence, the government yesterday threatened to invoke the Official Secrets Act and initiate criminal action against two publications which ran reports on the basis of these documents. Now, at no point before this, that is even at a time when Nirmala Sitharaman admittedly used the ANI copy as a reference, did she ever mention that these documents have been stolen. However, significantly, the centre did not question the authenticity of the documents on the basis of which the Hindu has been publishing reports on the Rafale deal and punching holes into several of the government's accounts on the matter. The allegation, if not admission, by the centre that confidential Rafale documents were stolen raises several tricky questions. The Supreme Court has asked whether the government can take shelter under the Official Secrets Act on national security, but there are obviously other questions, where one is the South Block, the colonial era building that houses the Prime Minister's office besides the Foreign and Defence Ministries. Is it really guarded? And imagine if the papers are being stolen, then what will be happening at the border? Around the same time, the centre was complaining to the Supreme Court that the Rafale reports were based on stolen documents. Some TV channels, Times Now, were reporting that they had accessed a secret Air Force report that provided proof of the damage of the airstrikes in Pakistan. Will the government treat as stolen property the purported satellite images shown by the TV channels? And will the centre classify as stolen a document accessed by a news agency that has held aloft by government-friendly media as a clean chit to the Rafale deal by the then Defence Minister Manohar Parikar? Will those who leaked the information that suited the government's narrative be prosecuted as well? Well, N. Ram, the Hindu Publishing Group chairman who had written the reports on the Rafale deal, told PTI, "You, that is the government, may call it stolen documents. We are not concerned. Nobody is going to get any information from us on these sources. But the documents speak for themselves and the stories speak for themselves." Essentially, if one were to look at some of these missing items, and I'm not counting the missing brain in some people, but missing 300 bodies of terrorists killed, missing 15 lakhs in bank accounts, missing Yale University degree or the entire political science degree, missing is the black money found and seized, also missing are the CBI entries, and of course, the missing Rafale files. What is present and can be found everywhere are those goddamn full-page ads. Just count them to know how your tax money is being used to develop the nation. Sorry, I meant the man's image and of course, inaugurations. But what is serious is that if secret documents are not in safe hands, then is the nation in safe hands? And from issues, we head to shoes. In a hilarious, if not sad, turn of events, the video that was making the rounds was that of a BJP MP beating up a BJP MLA because his name was missing on Foundation Stone. Yes, it has already been gifted, edited, and is now on to becoming a successful meme. What will not become meme is that shit that would not happen in Ram Raj, but in Yogi Raj, even Ravan would feel jealous and maybe ashamed. Like two Kashmiri men selling dry fruits on a roadside were assaulted by two saffron-clad members of a right-wing outfit in Lucknow yesterday. The two men were abused, slapped and beaten with a stick because of their identity and were rescued by some locals. The locals also called the police. Well, while we are on Ram Rajya and Ram Janmabhoomi, Babri Masjid case is what we are waiting to get a verdict on so that the good old days from the glorious past can finally come back. On a day when the Supreme Court pushed for amicable settlement of the Ram Janmabhoomi Babri Masjid land dispute, Union Minister Uma Bharti claimed that Ayodhya could only have a temple, an idea of building a mosque could bolster possibility of violent backlash. When asked if she was fueling speculations of a riot, Bharti backtracked and said she would rather sacrifice her life than incite violence. She claimed she was part of the world's biggest non-violent movement on the issue. Ah, I have even given up counting the number of times irony dies in this country. Before we head to international news, let's give a moment to the junior foreign minister V.K. Singh and his tryst with the buzzword from previous weeks, Geneva Convention. And the minister, who has said so much shit that the entire Arabian Sea will get a complex, has found an innovative way in which humans can be treated during conflict, especially if they happen to be fellow citizens with a brain enough to ask questions. The minister said yesterday that those questioning the Balakot casualty figures should be tied to aircraft and dropped so that they can count the dead the next time airstrikes are made on Pakistani territory. So all of us, and you too, if you ask questions, will get the Ahmed Dar feeling when one major was conveniently flogging Geneva Convention by tying a Kashmiri youth to the bonnet of his jeep and using him as a human shield. And before we head to international news, we'd like you to welcome the Rs. 20 coin hitting the street and your pockets soon. The Finance Ministry on Wednesday announced a new coin for Rs. 20, which will be shaped like a 27mm dodecagon, which is a 12-sided polygon. Interestingly, it was nearly 10 years ago, in March 2009, that the Reserve Bank of India had issued the first 10 rupee coin. And on to international news, where Facebook boss Mark Zuckerberg has said he believes secure private messaging services will become more popular than open platforms. In a blog, Mr. Zuckerberg outlined his vision to transform Facebook into a privacy-focused platform. But the big story is perhaps the comeback of Manchester United. Manchester United pulled off one of the greatest comebacks in Champions League history as Marcus Rashford's last-gasp VAR penalty sealed a 3-1 win at Paris Saint-Germain yesterday and sent the English side into a quarterfinals on away goals. VAR also came to the rescue of Porto as Porto converted a penalty awarded following a VAR review 3 minutes from the end of extra time to beat AS Roma 3-1 and reach the Champions League quarterfinals after an epic finale. That is all I have for you for today. Until tomorrow, goodbye from me and take a bath.